Well, folks,
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just going to stop that. Unfortunately, I've got Dr. Kalo Black back with us. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties. I am reposting him being back with us on the show. Dr. Black, are you with us?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right. You were, and I'm just putting this up on our social media, part two of this. It's going to be we got an extra 30 minutes out of this, so it's not a problem. You were saying that the W is indicative of, just as it speaks, a double U. Continue.
Correct. Okay. So, yes, remember, we're talking about who are the sheep. That's important because we've already determined the esoteric meaning of COVID-19, meaning sheep slaughter. We all heard the news reports, how it affects African Americans more than others. We all heard that this could possibly be a genocide where doctors will let blacks die on Fox. So it's beginning to paint a picture, but now I'm going to dig in deep of who the sheep are. And we were beginning with the 1611 King James Version, where he is speaking to Zion as a descendant of Judah, and he is preparing his prologue, and he uses a word before the letter J was created and mentions a people who were called IEWES for plural. So there is a person who was a Levite under the Romans. His name was Josephus.
Okay.
And his annals that he wrote, that the Most High's name were four vowels. Now, I know that's a bit controversial because we've been taught that the Most High's name is YHWH. And there's been some contention on what that means and how it's said. But we also know that the scriptures even declares that the scribes do lie. Mm-hmm. So our reference of the Most High's name was declared by Josephus, who was a reputable Levite. He was a general during the Jewish wars, and he's now under the Romans writing the history of the Jews, and he says that the Most High's name were four vowels. As we determined from the 16 King James Version, he mentions the name of a people, and he mentions it as IEWE, and as we declared, W is just that, two U's, which is a vowel. Now, we're still trying to figure out who are these bloody sheep that they are trying to slaughter out here. Why are they trying to destroy the sheep? So there's many in the letter. I like to call it the letter. There are many references in the letter that mentions the people who are called by my name. We are also in the letter, spoken of as being sheep. So we are people called by his name. We are sheep. Now let's go back to the Most High's name, which are four vows. We already determined that W is just two U's. So those are vowels.
Okay.
Now, the short form of Jew is without the J would be a U. So if you had the silent E or the short form at the end, because in English we often have the silent E at the end of a word. So if you have the silent E, it would be a U.
Okay.
Because J wasn't created yet, right?
Okay, right.
So it is I-E-U. But when you add the last E and you pronounce the E, then it creates the V sound, which makes the W in play. And as we are linguists, we are always evolving. So it would be Yahweh. Because we pronounce the last E, which causes the U to sound like a F sound, which births the W.
Gotcha. So pronounce it one more time.
Yahweh. Yahweh.
Gotcha.
Okay. So there is a tribe of people in Ghana, which those who are studied and learned know during the time that knowledge is increased, that the kingdom of Judah was operating in the western regions of Africa after the Exodus and the fleeing from the Romans into Africa, which was always a place of refuge. And we know that our heritage is from that region. Now, some would say, no, we've been here in the Americas. We've been here. That was a deception. We've been here. But my genealogy comes from both sides, Native American, Cherokee, as well as I'm very keenly aware of my heritage out of South Carolina, which is a offspring of the American descendants of slaves. That's just facts.
Right.
So it's not one or the other. It is a mixture that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I know that the slave coast, what was designated as the slave coast, came from the western regions, which the Portuguese map writers, before it changed to Gold Coast, Slave Coast, was the kingdom of Judah. We have historical records. We have historical records of pictures of people who were enslaved that had the breastplates that the Levites wore. But there's also something more beautiful, because we're dealing with who's the sheep and the association of the people who are called by my name. And also, let's take it further in Revelations, why it is blasphemy to say that you are Jew but are not. Come on now, I'm talking.
Wait a minute now. Okay. Go on.
I know this is not what you're accustomed to,
but this is
what I call higher education.
Let's do this.
Okay?
Okay.
So, there is a people in the regions of Ghana that have a name, and it is called Ewe. And that is spelled E-W-E. I think we concluded that the W is also what, sir?
A W.
That's right. It's a vowel. Mm-hmm. But we also determined that when you add the last E, the U changes its form to give you the wu sound. So if it's short, it would be a U. If you add the last E, in this case, like the airway, you get the wu sound and it is airway. And that is the child root.
Wow.
So what does U mean? U is the short form because we silence the E at the end. Why? Because people did not want to say the name of the people who were called by his name. So, what other evidence do we have regarding the Most High's name being four vowels? I have proof from the Oxford libraries that the people in the royal family of the lineage of Judah spelt their breastplates with four vowels, which were I, E, U, E. Josephus said it with four vowels. Pictures of old times of capturing this I, E, U, E. But even more beautiful than that, there is a translation of the Bible that is called the Concordant Hebrew Literal Translation. And it is a modern independent transliteration of the Hebrew directly into English. And they also spell the four letters as I, E, U, E.
Wow.
So who are the sheep? Again, we're talking about the sheep, the people who are called by his name. Now, some might say, well, that's just metaphorically, right? We're just metaphorically saying that this is the people. Okay. But what I'm communicating, maybe it was more than metaphorical, because how can you blaspheme God's name by saying that you are a Jew? Maybe that S is an apostrophe S, which represents possession of Yahweh's possessions. Because when you are married, you take on the name of your husband. So to say that you are a bride, to say that you have borne his name upon you, but have not, you have blasphemed his name. And the truth was hidden in plain sight with the naming of sheep by design, because as I said in the beginning, knowledge was contained in the actual formulation of the language to communicate knowledge and truth. There is no better way to communicate knowledge by putting logic and information in the makeup of the language itself.
Well said.
We have a people in Ghana who are Yewes, or the Ewe people, which is the child root of the name, without the Yud in Hebrew, without the I, they are Ewe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add the I and put the apostrophe S, it would be Yewes.
Mm. God's people.
That's right. Woo-hoo! Oh, that's so
wow, man. I mean, there you are, folks. You cannot break it down much more basically than that. I mean, folks, you know, when I met with Dr. Kalo Black, when I introduced myself and I spoke to him for just a little while, I knew there was something about this individual. The attention to detail and getting to the meat of the matter once he arrives is quite an event. Everybody's been looking for, you know, tell us why you're talking about leaving. Why are you talking about leaving? Why are you talking about leaving? And my response that kind of shortens the need to have one is usually now, why aren't you thinking about leaving? And these types of gems, these types of, you know, I'm blown away. It tells me that evidently the Creator is moving folks in the right direction. I feel there's something that's moving me in this direction, and I encourage others to move with us. And it's not, again, if I might just take a little time, I'm not talking about a utopia. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, I'm only talking about getting out of the reach of our oppressors and who we are and the compounded reasons that are presented in front of us daily, which express the need to leave. Dr. Black, let me ask you, is it, and I know I've asked this before, I like to be as scriptural as possible. You know, that's just me. Are we in line, just, you know, on a side note, are we in line scripturally in wanting to exit this prison, this penal colony?
Of course.
Not that we're asking permission. You've already addressed that in your last podcast.
Right,
I understand that. But, you know, for those who pay attention to those details, you know, are we – because some people have said, hey, you know, we're supposed to wait to be delivered. And I'm looking at it as, you know, I'm also presented in front of me an opportunity to leave, and I'm also nagged. I'm nagged by the images of Jews being bulldozed into mass graves. I am an empath, an empathetic person, which is, you know, that's a whole nother show. And I look at those images and imagine the thoughts that those folks had, in that they can't believe that this is happening. I don't want to be one of those folks. So again, is it scriptural, or my, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. So now that we've established who the sheep are, right?
Mm.
We've established that. Mm. So what are some of the things, because one of the things you have to understand, and the key of everything is understanding who the sheep are.
Mm.
There are many references, like in Jeremiah 51:45, come out of my people, run for your lives from the fierce anger of the Lord. or Revelations 18:4, which says, "Come out, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues."
Oh, man. Oh. I just got chills.
Because the plagues, most people think that the plague, now, don't mind you, there's going to be some divine things because it's going to be similar to Egypt again, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 5G is going to be a plague on this country. And 5G is another, what I believe is a genocidal weapon that is specifically inclined towards melanated people because of what it prevents being absorbed with the vitamin D absorption, which is the which we get from being in the sun. So those who are darker will get less of it than those who are lighter. So we will be affected by 5G more because we are already deficient in vitamin D. Than someone who is lighter and doesn't need to be out in the sun that much. So that is even a weapon that will affect ADOS more than it would someone who does not have melanin. So to me, like I said, I don't need permission because I gave you that story. No matter where I go, I'm blessed. No matter what I decide, God said, "You name the animals." He didn't say, "I'm going to tell you what to name the animals."
I like that, dude. I like that. That's powerful. That's powerful. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
But what I tried to communicate, and this is why this is for everyone, because any God-fearing patriot, anybody God-fearing, understanding these things that have the knowledge, we are reaching out to all God-fearing people to help us solidify our exit.
Wow. Wow.
Because remember, when they left, it wasn't just God's people who left. The Egyptians came with them. Some Egyptians went with them. And we know that the portion of the earth that will be covered in darkness is where the seat of the beast resides.
Wow.
Where is the seat of the beast that covers the seven mountains? And I'm telling you the truth. It has nothing to do with the mountains in Jerusalem. It has to do with the seven continents on the whole earth.
Well, open it up. Go ahead. Let them know.
And the beast sits. The system of the beast sits upon the seven continents of the earth. And the seat of that beast that they will give the power to. And you know who convinces them to give the power to the beast? Come on now. It is God who convinces them to give the power, their power, their sovereignty up. And we know, so if we know that the seat of the beast is in New York, and that portion will be darkened, and that portion of the earth, a third of the earth will be darkened, then I think that would be North America as being darkened.
Wow.
So if North America is your refuge, even though we are 287% more likely to be killed than a white person, even though their population is over 2.8 or 4.5, there's 4.5 white for every white, one black. and you're okay with that, then, you know, good for you.
I'm not.
Right? I'm not trying to say that's what gets me about some of these, the ADOS leadership who are dividing a division through Pan-Africanism, when it is the very scripture that says that Judah will rise first. And why are we rising? For our brother. We're not rising so we can just feed off the fat and the cattle. And it's our time.
What does it mean when it says Esau is the end of things and Jacob is the beginning? Have you heard of that? Is that the second Esdras? Are you familiar with that? Does that play into that?
Yeah, it's no different than the last shall be first and the first last.
For shall be last. Wow. Well, folks, I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker. Sometimes I forget to pay bills. Because you get so involved and you're really wrapping this information around you. I can tell you without doubt, this is the deepest information I've ever had the pleasure of delivering to our listeners. I know a lot of you have had to, I think we overwhelmed the system because folks were leaving and coming in. But I'm so happy to have Dr. Kalo Black back and with a little extra time to get all of his points. To recap, folks, if you listen to part one, he broke down COVID and how that meaning really means a sheep to slaughter. How we can trace that meaning and the change of it, respectively, online. Also, identified the sheep, identified them in more than one way, identified who they are linguistically. And it's interesting to meet people that know more than you do. Let me just say that off top. I'm not going to be so false in my humility as to think you'll believe me to say I'm not. I know I'm a smart person, but I'm smart enough to know that there are smarter people everywhere. And, you know, I'm also smart enough to recognize and listen to those people and promote those people. And in some instances, if worthy, follow those people. Because if I had all the answers, you know, I don't think I'd share with everybody. If I had all the answers. I want to thank. I'm just kidding. Of course, I would. I want to thank Dr. Kalo Black, who continues, thankfully, to be on the air with us, the Amos A. Nunn Show, the Black Fact Checker, bringing a special guest host today, Dr. Kalo Black, another Black Fact Checker, who I can tell you, folks, he's ticking the boxes, he's crossing the T's, he's dotting the I's. For me, as a person that tries to dial into a message, this all equals let's go. We must leave. I do not want to be here when all hell breaks loose. If I have an opportunity to be somewhere else, if there's a way out and a way to watch from a long distance, if God blessing our endeavor and our effort, I mean, why not take that opportunity. And you know what? I'll take it out of, let's just take it out of spiritual hands just for a moment, just for a second.
Right. Right. Take it out.
Let's just say I want to do this because I want to get out of this country. How about that? Has nothing to do. I can have two thoughts can occupy the same space safely. I keep telling people that. It's okay. You can have two separate and independent and sometimes conflicting thoughts. It's not going to kill you. So, okay, if anybody is put off by me basing my decision on a biblical, what I believe to be spiritual reason, you know what? Scratch that. I want to get out of the United States because it's not for us. I want to get out of the United States because they don't want us here and I can do better elsewhere.
Exactly. And, that is,
you know,
that is that is there.
How about that?
You can do better elsewhere. You
and again, I'm not taking from Dr. Black's show. This is his show, but I wanted to get that in there. I am Amos A. Nunn. I'm the Black Fact Checker. Our guest host today is Dr. Kalo Black. He continues. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think you brought out some valid points because we have the tendency sometimes to be too heavenly minded that we are no good, to be grounded. And to me, it just makes logical sense from a financial perspective. If our wealth, if the average Caucasian wealth is $140,000 per person, and our average wealth per person is $1,000, and I can go to another place and change that due to the favorable factors that will support a more peaceful and prosperous life and environment for me, as well as my descendants or offsprings or whoever can have and see the vision. Why not? Everyone else does it. There's Chinese in Africa. There's Europeans living in Africa. Matter of fact, they lived in South Africa. They controlled all of South Africa.
Mm.
So what is the problem? Why is it such an issue? If they decide to provide restitution, as we petition our government, which under the Constitution is valid, then that's good. But that doesn't mean that I am sitting on my butt waiting for a deliverer when he plainly says, run for your lives. Run for your freaking lives, man.
Oh, my God. Bring it out.
Run for your lives.
Wow. Get away from him.
Run for your life.
Oh, my goodness. Man, Dr. Kalo Black is our guest host today, folks. And, you know, I the justification, reasoning, motivation, these are things I examine personally. And I try to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for the right reason. It doesn't always work out that way. But I'm 50-some-odd years old, and this tiny violin playing for me, you know, I haven't had the best of circumstances growing up in this country. And to think that there is the possibility that I could, you know, start over in a way that not only can eliminate, erase, remove, and just, you know, show as non-existent a horrible beginning anyway, then, I mean, why not look into it? Why not at least examine it? And you know what? Not just for me, you know, how about for my progeny? You're right, sir. I mean, I got kids. I got grandkids. You know, I could lay a foundation. They could find a path to travel that I lay. So, again, with about 55 minutes left, Dr. Black, continue. My apologies.
I want to tell of a story that happened to me while I was in Ghana. And there's a couple, but this one is one where I was on a tro-tro, which is their form of transportation. And I was sitting beside this young girl, because chochos, you're pretty packed in there. They try to pack you in as much as possible. And something within me telling me to speak to this girl. Now, of course, being the gentleman that I am, I did not want to come across as if I was trying to come onto her or make any improper, moves, or I just didn't want the perception to be that I was interested in her, but I also didn't know what reason, if any, that I should speak with her for. So, because I did not want to quench the move that was happening within me, I introduced myself and I said, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but something is wanting me to speak to you, and I'm not sure quite why. And she got my inference, meaning that God was moving me to speak to her. And she said to me that I want to know who I am. That was a loaded question. So I asked her, I said, what tribe are you with? And she says, I am Awe.
Wow.
And that was all she needed to say. And as I began to teach and to speak to her life and told her who she is and who she is a descendant of, oh God. To make the long story short, it was just pouring out. And as she began to weep, because I felt like I was going to jump out the tro-tro window, because there was such a blanket of liberty, if you catch my drift, in the vehicle.
Wow.
And then she was so taken aback by all that I said. When we got off the tro-tro to a transfer station, she asked me if I was God.
Whoa.
Because she said, I have been asking over and over to God to know who I am. And no one has given me that message, but what you delivered today, I know was from God. Changed her life.
Wow.
Changed my life. Because people...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because people have a hard time, and I call it vain imaginations, because they have been trained by men. They have been conditioned to think a certain way. They have done, but he is doing a new thing and revealing new things. And we sometimes are so conditioned that we cannot receive. But here, this one woman received, not knowing me from anything, knew without a doubt what was speaking to her through inspiration. I'll give you another example. I was in a coffee shop in Ghana, and there was a 12-year-old boy who came in the coffee shop with his Bible and said to me, God wants me to talk to you. 12 years old.
Wow.
And he pulled out his Bible and began to speak to me. And I just listened. But I already knew what the message was going to be for him, because I was sent to Africa, to Ghana, to speak that message. And when he asked me, he was finished. After he asked me, he did his little thing and he was finished. And then I said, are you Awe?
Mm.
And he said, yes. How did you know?
Wow.
Because everybody's not Awe. There's a Shanti. That, and I'm not saying that no one else is a sheep, but I'm speaking to a specific component in which God has revealed to me who bear the child root of his name.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to display and communicate to him all what I have been taught by the Ruach, who before I left told me that the Ewe people are the child root. Well, actually, specific, it says the same.
Wow.
So after I spoke to him, he left, and I went back to the house I was staying at. That was my first trip there, so I went back to my Airbnb. And later, about a week later, he found me again in the shop, in the mall in Accra, in the coffee shop. He says, I've been looking for you. And I said, oh, what's up? What's wrong? He says, well, I talked to my pastor about all the things you said, because I had written things down specifically for him and gave him paper so he could have that. And he said, I talked to my pastor about what you said, and he said, it is not true. But I believe you, because that night God came to me in a dream and told me that what I was saying to him was true. 12 years old.
Wow.
12 years old.
Wow.
So we sometimes can't understand these matters and have leaders who are blind leading us into a ditch. For instance, Yvette, who is one of the leaders of ADOS, tweeted a video of people who were in Target dancing and saying, take off your mask. And in her tweet, she said, these people are advocating for disease in spite of the left. So she was equating to them not wearing their mask, which was advocating for the disease. And when I saw that, I was usually pretty patient with some of the things she said, but she was very divisive in the beginning. They were divisive, ADOS, divisive. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a proponent of being divisive. But I had to break down the facts. So I had to break out the NIH study that was done in 2011 that plainly showed during the MERS in a hospital, controlled hospital in Vietnam, how they determined that cloth masks do not do anything. Matter of fact, they contribute to the spread of those viruses, RNA viruses, as well as they did not see any direct efficiency with the N95 mask either.
Oh, wow. Really?
So just today on Fox, you have Mr. Redfield, and the spirit already showed me that he was nothing but a devil. Prior to even knowing who Redfield was, I was getting inclinations that I was about to stumble across the Redfield, who was the head of the CDC. And he said before Congress that a mask is almost better than a vaccine. And that is an outright lie. And anybody can search on the NIH website and they will show you the controlled study that says it's a lie. Matter of fact, it is more hazardous to you than it is to not wear a mask.
Wow.
Matter of fact, people who wear multiple masks, it's even worse, even more than having just the regular mask. So here they perpetuate a lie, falsities, and here a leader of ADOS, who is blind and ignorant, telling these people that they are proponents of disease, when in her own leadership, she just led all the people who says wearing masks is safe and blah, 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 is leading people right into the ditch. And if you are doing that in one component of an area, then you may be doing that in another component of an area, leading people into the ditch because you think you know, but yet you are blind and you have no discernment and you have no insight. No different than the Patriots. I'm for America first. Yes, we are people are affected by mass immigration because I've been out in the streets and my brothers couldn't get jobs during the Obama administration. So I'm hip to the streets and I know that immigration affects their abilities to get jobs. So I'm for those things that's going to prevent that from happening and give them jobs. But if a patriot rejoices over someone who was rioting, who gets set a bail for $1 million when the Constitution itself that they say that they declare says that that is an unreasonable bail, then they have violated the Constitution. The judge has violated the Constitution, and the patriots who say they are patriots are liars. Just because it is someone on the left or someone you disagree with, so you rejoice over the injustice. And that is what they do. That is what the right does. That is what the left does, because there is no truth in them whatsoever.
Mm. Woof. I hope everybody is listening. I hope everybody is taking notes. I am Amos A. Nunn. You are listening to Dr. K. Lo Black, who is laying it down, no cut. He is hitting you between the eyes, your mental eyes. And I hope all are listening. Continue.
And I have a message for the Ghanaian people who are in Ghana. It is time to come out of your churches and be the church. It is time to rip down every white vestiges of Jesus, which is a false idol. It is time to rip it down. It's time.
Long overdue.
It is time to stop taking advantage, and I'm talking to the Ashanti people. It is time to stop taking advantage of your workers by paying them less than what they deserve. It is time. Because to every measure you deal will be dealt unto you. And believe me, there is no hiding from the eyes that will penetrate your being and make your spirit try to run, that causes your body to respond. And I know what I'm talking about. It is time to do that and embrace the truth. So we're going to come to Ghana because we've been blessed with land in Ghana. And we are trying to put together a coalition desires to live in peace. Because you must understand that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, said he would lead you and guide you into all truth. And liberty is where he leads you. Would the Holy Spirit lead you to be in bondage?
No.
No. So why would he want you in bondage? Unless you are not listening to what the Spirit is telling you. It is well within our means to accomplish whatever we can, whatever. The whole world emulates us, our culture. It was designed to be that way because what the enemy has done was use what was supposed to be glorifying all of the earth with our light and righteousness has been turned to degrade the earth as degenerates.
Mm. That's powerful enough to repeat, sir. And I because we talked about that yesterday. You had said, I said, you know, they imitate us and they hate us. And you really put it in perspective with this type of statement, the statement you just made. You know, just repeat that because it is so, I mean, you know, and then let me just interject just quickly because, you know, I look at these other cultures. And I don't see mariachi bands being imitated in Ireland. Okay? I look at these other cultures, you know, and I don't see Hindi music being bumped in Canada, you know, I mean, by Canadians dressing up in their garb. But what I do is I can go over to Ukraine where there might be 5 black people per million. And that just means 3 of them are white folks that stayed in the sun too long. So you might find a couple of black folks, and you'll see folks with NWA shirts on, busting rhymes, busting all of our stuff. And if they ain't doing our stuff, they're making it. Have you ever heard French rap? It is the most sadistic, cat screeching, nail biting shit. Excuse me, you've ever heard in your fucking life, okay? But they do it. Why do they do it? They're not imitating mariachi bands. They're not, you know, they're not sitting in France looking at the Mexicans in Mexico City picking up a giant, big old giant, guitar and going, ay, 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 with giant hats on. What they're doing is they're, for some reason, they done got an NWA or a fucking ludicrous tape, and they know every fucking word, and they wear their hats backwards, and they niggering this, what up, my nigga? And you're looking at these crackers like, you ain't never seen a black person in your life. So, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I saw a video that it was a whole bunch of Oriental people. And they got into a fight, and they're going, what are you going to do, nigga? You know, they're like, hey. I'm like, okay, all right, all right.
So how do we infect the whole world with our culture, yet the whole world looks at us with such immense, increasing disdain, the malice? Dude, I'm going to tell you right now. My movement, the movement that we came up with, the movement that you now are certainly a leader in, you know, whatever, you know, we want to take everything you've got. I mean, you are, as far as I'm concerned, hey, let's get this done. We got to keep out of these people's faces. There's a natural aggression against us that these white folks got. I keep away from them, and I've said to one of them just in passing, they said, "Don't, you're dressed really nice today," and I just didn't want to acknowledge. I don't want to see him. I don't want to, you know. Please just, you know. And immediately, once he got the gist that I didn't want to associate with him, his true colors came out, bro. And he became this very dangerous, violent, nasty, vindictive, hateful creature. So the mask that most of them wear can be easily removed if you simply ignore them. They are the most attention. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go.
Look, all I got to know, all I got to say, all I got to say is, my brother, all I got to say is if you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, then you are of your father, the devil.
Mm.
So why wouldn't the adversary want to use those who he sees fit, destroy the people? One of the reasons why this country is going to be destroyed and nations are going to rise against this place, and its scripture says their arrows will not miss, and they will be meeting and messaging, and people will be sending messengers, but their hearts will be failing because of fear.
Wow.
It is It is because of what they have done to his heritage, it says.
Wow. Wow.
So that's reserved for them. Hence the reason why run for your lives. Because it's going to be to the wealth that we have had as a nation, having the reserve currency of all the world. And you hear Trump brag, the greatest nation that's ever lived, blah, blah, blah. We are a woman without a, we are not a widower. That's what the scripture puts it. It says to that measure, oh my God, give it to them.
Wow. Wow.
So leaving is a good thing.
I'm just saying. I mean, to me, like I said, throw the scriptures out. It's just a smart thing.
Yeah. Tell me this. The 5G. I just want to ask a question. Now, the 5G, I want you to get into it. But before you do that, I just need to know, is this the reason they took books out of the Bible, Council of Nicaea, Council of Trent? Are they taking it out because it points to who they are? It points to the punishment they'll receive. It points to the coming calamity. And then go ahead and get into 5G.
Well, I think it's all the above, right? Because in like the book of Ezra, we know that it plainly says that they painted their faces over our stuff. I mean, there's been x-rays of European pictures of Caucasians, but when they x-ray it, they realize that the person was black underneath it.
Oh, my.
So we know that they are attempting to conceal, and this is a coordinated effort again. It is not an end of, I mean, well, you can say many levels to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because if God can move his people by the Spirit, and I can bear witness with you, and you can bear witness with me, and we can have mutual pieces of a plan, and then we come together, and it syncs up automatically, and we could continue in that direction. Why wouldn't it be the same elsewhere?
Wow.
Because I've seen. I mean, what I'm saying is the unseen realm is quite real. And it influences what we see.
You know, I want you to do a show, an entire podcast on what you've discovered about the unseen realm, about that dimension. I mean, it's my understanding they've proven that there are 9 dimensions. And we know that's mathematically, not that you can see. They've also, through this new supercomputer, they've proven there are alternate universes because of this new supercomputer that I saw. I mean, you know, and these are underreported things. Things I don't know that we're supposed to really delve into. I await, you know, the kingdom, which is another reason I was drawn to Dr. Kalo Black and his organization. The name of his organization, Kingdom, what Kingdom, please help me with it.
Kingdom Project Group, the Kingdom Project Group.
Thank you, Kingdom Project. You know, we're instructed to seek first the kingdom. I mean, that, actively doing that. So if all that I'm doing is in line with seeking first the kingdom, which I believe this type of relocation effort is, in that we are trying to preserve ourselves alive. I think that the Chinese and the Russians are eyeing this country's resources as well as its land, as well as, you know, as just conquering it and paying it back for World War II. I think that white people want to war with each other. And you know, I think part of that is to distract the fact that there's about to be a new hierarchy put over this planet. And they're going to go to war with God over that change. I don't know if you understand that or believe that or know.
Yes,
that.
I do.
Is what's really going on. And they are where they're supposed to be geographically. They are in the Valley of Hinnom. They are in the Valley of Megiddo, the flat plains over in Syria. They're gathering their forces. And you know, at some point, they're going to come to terms with the fact that, you know, your time is up. End of the Gentile times is finished.
It is done already.
And, right. And they're going to, you know, they're going to go to war with God over the new arrangement, which is the arrangement he initially had intended, that we, Ados or Hebrews, the progeny of Abraham, due to either a genetic purity or Abraham's heart condition, whatever the case may be, a former, you know, a priest in the order of Melchizedek, he told Abraham that you're going to have, you know, many people as a progeny. Then, you know, so if we look at the scripture as our history book and understand that if he's going to punish us for disobedience, what do you think he's going to do to the people he had appointed over us who went too far in their punishment? I'm Amos A. Nunn. I'm the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro, the guest host today, Dr. Kalo Black, after a little bit of technical difficulty, is back. We've been on the air about an hour. We got about 27 minutes to go. I'm going to give it back to Dr. Black. Sir, whatever you wish to talk about, you are free to discuss. Continue.
Yeah, I wanted to speak a bit about something that of a economic view, because we have people who are in the States who want to leave. They don't have the resources to leave. We are in a situation where, you know, the elderly, they have situations with diabetes and they're concerned about their medical support and things like that. There are natural remedies, of course. Dandelions for diabetes does work. I had a sister who employed diabetes. It caused her sugar levels to drop. I mean, there's natural means to deal with those things. However, still, from a financial perspective, you know, it's still a concern. And so what I've done is put together a plan to try to address that. And the addressing of that plan is a very simple economic plan, which produces about $247 million in 10 30-day sprints. And I call them sprints because I'm a software kind of a guy, a techie. It's an agile term where you have sprint. It's a portion of time or a period of time. So within this period of time, I calculated 30 days as a period of time. And in 10 months or 10 30-day periods, we can produce $247 million without being a burden to our people. And the only requirement is that you pay one time $25 plus care for five other people to share this campaign with.
And now, when you say that, plus five other people to care, can you go ahead and expand on that? I want our listeners to understand what you mean.
Because in this thing about our ancestors and what we experienced, and our conditions and our conditions of our brothers, some in better positions than others, you have to have the basic care for your brother as Mashiach or whatever you want to call it, example, whether it's true, not true, is irrelevant. It is the principle that it was capturing that except someone is willing to lay down their life, there is no other greater love that a brother can have for one another.
Mm. Wow.
So if you don't care enough for your brother who is in those situations, in the ghettos or in situations of poverty, if you don't care enough for your brother to go out and try to recruit five other people, then I call it, it is a signature of the state of who you are. Mm. The fact that you care about your brother or you love the sheep, one of the characteristics of those who are the 100, called the 144,000, they said, it says they follow the sheep wherever they go. They follow the lamb wherever they go. They follow the sheep. It's the same thing.
Right, right.
So if you don't have a heart for your brother, then it shows that that signature of God is not upon your life. It's just that simple. So that is the basic requirement, that you have that sense where you want to help five other people, and you have 30 days to do that. But there's going to be other people who do 50 or 5. Yeah, because like someone like me, you think I'm trying to help all of our people.
Mm.
And I think that I've been given a name that symbolizes that within my character. And I'm going to tell you that story because it's important to understand who is speaking.
Amen.
Right? This is not my, wouldn't it be nice if we all just get along? This is not that. And let me give you this example. So, one day, minding my business like I normally am, I'm laying in the bed. I had a dream about my mother. But soon as I wake up, I'm collecting these messages that are showing me things to come. And because of the things that were being said to me, one of the things that said to me was that my name was going to be Joshua in the English form, right? We say Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that being said, because it was so sudden and I had just had a dream about my mother, I kind of was like a little child, and I said, okay, I got one. I just have one request. just one request.
Barney.
Yeah, so because it was a lot. I mean, you're changing my name. You show me all the stuff. I just have one request, that my mother will be near me. Now, I didn't even know what I was really saying. I was just trying to grab at straws or something to try to say, hey, my mother, I just had to do that, she would be near me. And then I left it at that. 2 days later, my mom lived in South Carolina with my sister down there. My sister went on a trip. During that time, my mom had a mild stroke.
Oh.
And my sister, who lived in Maryland, went down, retrieved my mother, and in 2 days, she was literally in the city right next to me.
Oh, that is amazing. That's how fast it happened, huh?
That's how fast. Just one, I have one request. Without even understanding, I just have one request. And in 2 days, that transpired. So if we are the Joshua generation, and if that has more meaning than just the message of, oh, isn't it nice I have a name, then that name has meaning. And we know what Joshua did in scripture, in the letter, I like to call it. I call it the letter because the Spirit called it the letter. Because he said to me, they love the letter more than they do the giver of the letter. They desire truth. I am truth.
Mm. Powerful.
So if it's the letter, then it is just like that. It is the letter. And if there is any purpose in my life to be that Joshua, then there has to be something that we are conquering in order to take back something for the people who are called the sheep, who are called by his name. Because, like I said, the times, and I'm saying this because I know, of the Gentiles are over.
Well, Dr. Kalo Black on the air with us today. We got about 15 minutes left. The special guest host, for those of you that that follow Dr. Black on his Twitter account and other places, I encourage you to share this podcast. The information that you have imparted, sir, is amazing, and so well presented and connected. And I like that you make it extremely easy to understand. Dr. Black, again, founder of the KPG, he is a web-focused architect, certified software engineer. Again, the first winner of the CTO Ambassador Award. He's a poet, he's a producer, but more importantly, and in my mind, the most important attribute, a spiritual scholar. He is quantifying that title this evening, and I appreciate your being here. With I say about 15 minutes left, what do you expect? Where do you see it? You know, Donald Trump is obviously either going to be elected or he's going to steal the election. I don't care. I call that white folks' business. I really don't care. I want to leave this behind. What kind of a time frame is safe in your mind?
Well, unfortunately, many are called, but few are chosen. And that is sadly the dilemma that we often had to work with anyway in this society, taking a little and trying to do much with it. So I try not to be unrealistic in my projections, because I can weep right now and thinking that it is so simple, that this burden is so light, it's so easy. It would be so simple to do. I just said I have a plan that within 10 months we could have 247 million, and I have 6,000 acres in Ghana. We could build or buy. We could do anything we want. Not only that, but they gave me the gold rights to mine the gold. I mean, we have all the potential, but the laborers are few. The work is plentiful, but the laborers have always been few, because unfortunately few are willing to lay down their lives.
And that, I think, is what will be required from quite a few of us. I've come to terms some years ago and know inherently that this will come at a cost that some of us will have to pay with our very existence. And, one of the things that kind of settles it in my mind is, is it appropriate for us to go to this and enter into this with that fatality of a concept? And I've got to say yes. I just don't see it happening any other way. These folks are dangerous, and their profession is killing. So they don't have a problem. And I think a lot of us are going to have to lay our lives down, or at least offer it seriously. I think their preferred method of killing people is going to turn into the guillotine, if I'm not mistaken, but that's another show. So, Dr. Black, so do you think that 10 months that you were going to use in promoting and furthering your economic system, is that in line with the second Exodus, or come before or after?
Well, I think what we can do is, if we are successful and we have a coalition committed, it could be something that could happen, you know, relatively quickly and begin to do humongous things to benefit our people. We don't have to wait until everything hits the fan. We have $1 trillion in economic power. Mm-hmm. And if we turn that inward, and remember, my plan is only $25 once. If we had if we turned it inward, we would build such an undercurrent that we would be no different than when they left Egypt, when they're about to leave Egypt. They're like, oh, we changed our mind. No. You ain't going nowhere.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
Because we are the source of the American greatness. We are. And if we just turn that inward, I mean, I have a cousin who's star on, she's out in Atlanta, and she plays in this one show, what is it called, Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And Vanessa Williams. And I wish I can get through to her to try to, you know, just to see the vision. But you really have to care for your people. You really have to care for your people. And that's the same thing problem they have in Ghana. They don't love their people enough, so they enslave them because they've adopted the Eurocentric beast methods, which has caused poverty. Because prior to that, prior to Europe coming, that when they first came to Africa, one of the dukes, he said, we will never be able to conquer Africa. But the only way that we can conquer them is to convince them that what we have is better than what they have. And that is the problem today. We think America is better because, oh, it's better. We got this, we got that. But that is not wealth, and it is not better. It is what the Europeans had said was better, and you're still in the trap.
Wow.
Because the tribe that's on the ones who gave us the acres, they don't work like we do. They have sheep running wild. They have coconut trees grown wild, banana trees wild. It's so bountiful. They just can pick, eat. Then they're not slaving every day and still having a hard time paying their rent. And the land that they've given us, they wanted to adopt us. That means we don't even have the restrictions that some who try to go to Ghana, purchase land, you can only have it for 50 years. No, this is perpetual. We don't have those, oh, you got to have the permit, you can't build, blah, blah. We don't have those obstacles. We don't have magistrates regulating. We don't.
We had discussed, I think, that the folks I had gotten from Albert, the gentleman I had spoke with, your guy there, and I had just noticed how almost thirsty they are, eager they are to be led. And
right. I just want to stop you right there because this goes back to what I was saying, how Adolf's leadership is trying to drive a wedge through Pan-Africanism, and they're saying that they don't care about you. They don't care about you over there. Different people are saying they don't care about you over there. And yet you had a letter from someone in Africa alone begging us to come and lead them.
Mm. Yeah.
So they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And to me, they're dividing us. Then they're not my friends.
Hear, hear.
They're not my friends.
I noticed how just incredibly eager they are to do, and which leads us to the proposition of relocating at least one foot soldier on the ground, a general, if you will, that will have no problem corralling and inspiring people to do.
And I know, you know, and that's where that, and if I can, you know, kind of disclose that that's what myself and Dr. Kalo Black are discussing, that he has there an opportunity, that an individual, and I'm raising my hand and volunteering to be that person to, you know, with some family members to go and really show that ADOS, that missing element, that removed from their society so long ago, has value and can charge them up and get them going. Yes.
Yes, look, we'll be the Joseph, no doubt.
We got 8 minutes left. Let me pay some bills again. I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro. Again, we are coming to you live from an undisclosed location somewhere deep in enemy territory. We here in the penal colony that is the United States of America for Negroes. Today's special guest host, Dr. Kalo Black, I think one of the future leaders, true leaders in solutions, with us today. The ideas, I'm hoping folks download, you know, I get a report of folks who download our podcast, and more download than listen, which is good. We also put our podcast on YouTube, and then we got a lot of folks that look there. I make it, you know, no bones that, you know, this desire to leave this country has now germinated into this further action. And I thank the Most High for meeting Dr. Black, and I think we may do this. I intend to do this. With 7 minutes left, Dr. Black, what do you have?
Well, I wanted to say, I hope I didn't come across in any way as adversarial to any race, any other gender, anything. Mm-hmm. My only hope is that those who are God-fearing will first understand who we are, assist if they are God-fearing, in our restoration, and to us to come together in a pure sense of love for one another, casting down what we first thought was better, and reaching back to understand that our identity, though it is American descendants of slavery, we were sourced from West Africa, where our real heritage was birthed as the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites, primarily those taken into captivity in America, that our people are still there, and our forefathers and ancestors would smile that we work together as we rise first and are conditioned to lead. They're back there where they are in need of our leadership to and it's in a safer environment altogether. And it's a beautiful environment. The whole place is hard to communicate, but, you know, I hope people would listen and respond. If there's an email address that
we
you
do.
Can give
we,
them
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, we've got Amos A. Nunn at gmail.com. We've got info@AmosANunn.com. We've got the website, AmosANunn.com. And with about 5 minutes left, if you are hopefully agreeable, Dr. Black, I'm going to take this time to wrap us up because they will cut us off. I don't want that to happen. I want to thank you for hosting today's show. I'm going to reshare. And, of course, we will have another show in just a matter of days. We're going to brainstorm. We're going to take this inches at a time, but we're going to make the progress needed to be made. Folks, I want to openly say, we're going to create this path out of this country, out of this prison. And I invite all of you to consider seriously the direction that this country is taking
in its attitude toward Eidos. It is getting more and more dangerous to be here, surrounded by our oppressors. They are being ginned up. You know, we don't have to do anything to be attacked. And if there is a way to get out of this country safely, with prosperity in mind, you know, around a tribe of people akin to our own, where we're not, you know, viewed as inmates, which is how we're viewed in this country, whether you like it or not. If you think of it along those lines, you then to get to understand why they treat us the way we do. They do. So, Dr. Black, we got about 3 minutes left. I do thank you for being on the show. If you'd like to speak to your audience and you know, whatever you want to say to them as we close.
Yeah, I hope I shout out to anybody from Ghana who's listening, my people from Ghana. Shout out to them. Some of the Facebook friends that I've, you know, who have walked with me. And, you know, if you're listening, I love you. Thank you for listening. And I just encourage you to keep on, those in the diaspora who are attempting to make their way to the motherland and in peace. And I leave you in peace. And I hope peace be upon you.
All right. Well, folks, again, I thank you for listening. I'm Amos A. Nunn, along with Dr. Kalo Black, wrapping it up, the special guest host today. We're going to have some other folks come on in the coming days. We're going to give you project updates on the Black Haven project that is the Agenda community. I thank you all for listening. I thank you, Dr. Kalo Black, for being here. This is Amos A. Nunn. You folks have a dat gum good day. Bye-bye.